Okay, folks, welcome to our test preparation class for test one in this elementary class of history at our house, American History. So this is our first test of the year. Let me remind you of what we are going to do and the procedure that we are going to use to do it. So we have in this class, for the time being, two groups. And so there are some things that we do in common, and there are some things that we do separately. And so what we are going to do in common is the anchor facts. And what we are going to do separately is the questions that follow the anchor facts. So you will notice that the questions are not the same. The questions for lower elementary students are typically simpler. The questions for upper elementary are a little bit more complicated and a little bit longer. And there are more of them. Okay, so that's kind of how it works. And so let me just give you a little bit of guidance here for everyone in this group so that we can proceed smoothly. The one important thing in the test preparation class is to give everybody a chance to participate. So if you answer question one, you should not raise your hand for question two. It's a pretty simple rule. Once you answer a question, you should sit out the next question. Okay, so if you answer question three, don't answer question four. That way, the hands that are going up are only for people that haven't answered. I mean, I could ask you to hold off for two whole questions, but that would be a pretty difficult task. So I'm just going to ask you, and I'll try to keep track of it as well. Don't raise your hand for the question after you have already answered one. Okay, that's the general rule of conduct here, so that we can try to let everybody participate. Okay, so we begin with the common questions. And so this is open to everybody. So let us begin. Remember now, what's different about the anchor facts on the test preparation sheets and on the test is that the who, what, where is together. And so you have to make a little phrase that says what you know about who's doing something, where they're doing it, and what they're doing. You make a little phrase. Then you answer the when separately, and you answer the so what separately. Okay, so let's have an example of that from Abby, please. Who, what, where, then when, then so what. Go ahead.
Nomer unifies Upper and Lower Egypt. When, circa 3000 B.C., so what? This happened 5,000 years ago, and it is the beginning of written history. Also, since then, monarchy has been normal.
Okay, good. All right, so monarchy is normal in history until America. All right, so I want you guys to notice the who, what, where, how that worked. Answer your, say your who, what, where one more time, Abby.
Who, what, where? Menes Nomer unifies Upper and Lower Egypt.
Okay, notice that. It just had it all, didn't it? It had who? Menes Nomer. It had what? Unifies. It had where? Egypt. Okay? If you want to add little details like upper and lower, that's fine, but you don't have to. Okay? But it had all three answers pretty much in order, right? The who did what where? It's pretty straightforward. All right? So that's the key to rolling those up into a single answer. Okay, number two, please. Switch to number two. Who, what, where? Sigourney. Okay, go ahead. Just go ahead with number two, Sigourney.
The Athenians created a democracy in Athens, and the Romans created a republic in Rome. When? The Athenians, 508, circa 508. The Romans, circa 509. So what? These are the first examples of a better government.
Okay, who can tell Sigourney why she didn't get full marks on this question? Everybody put your hands down. Who can tell Sigourney what she missed? We need help. Jeremy, put your hand down unless you're answering this question. Okay, Abby, can you help? No. All right, Sigourney, I want you to tell me again when, please. Hold on. Where are you, Sigourney? Go ahead. Tell me when these things happened.
Athenians, circa 508 BC. Romans, circa 509 BC.
All right, so you caught yourself. What did you change, Sigourney?
The BC.
Okay, can't forget the BC or the AD, otherwise we don't know which one it is. All right, very good. Don't forget it. And don't forget the circa, because if we don't say circa, we're not being honest. If we don't say circa, what are we saying? What are we pretending if we don't say circa? What are we pretending, Abby?
That we know exactly when it happened.
That's right, and we're not allowed to pretend stuff we don't know in history. We have to be honest about it. Okay, good. Number three, please. Okay, so Patrick wants to answer. Go ahead, Patrick. Who, what, where?
Jesus Christ is born in the Roman Empire.
Good.
When circa 4 BC.
Good.
So what? Christianity is the reason why our calendar is BC and AD.
Okay, good. Our calendar is based on that. And Patrick, tell me what BC and AD means.
BC means before Christ.
Good. AD is not English, so tell me what that is. Read it for it. Try your best.
Anno Domini.
Anno Domini. Good. Okay, bonus question. What language is that, everybody? Patrick?
Latin.
Latin, okay. The next question is, the next so what's going to help us understand why we don't speak Latin. All right, but the so what was the calendar, and that reflects the fact, if you're doing an upper elementary answer, you might have to give me a little bit more information. So Patrick has the part about the calendar. That's good. But why is the calendar the way that it is? That's kind of more an upper elementary question. So who can tell me that? What does that show us, that we happen to have a calendar like that? Wyatt?
Barbarian sack.
Oh, no, no, no. You're not listening. You're not listening. I'm asking a question. What does the fact that our calendar is a Christian calendar, what does that show us? Patrick answered correctly that we use a calendar that shows this birth. Well, why would we do that? People are born every, I don't know, every 6 seconds or something. So why do we pick one person's birth? Dana, go ahead.
Because it's the birth of one of the most important religions.
Okay. Technically, we can't deny it. When it comes to history, it is the most important. So, it's number one. If it was number two, I don't think our calendar would be reflecting it. So, if it was number two, I think we'd have a different calendar. So, that's pretty much the reason why. In history, it is the most important. That doesn't mean it's the most important to each individual person. And that doesn't necessarily mean it's the most important to you. But, again, if we're talking about history, we have to say what things are. And in history, Europe is the most important civilization. America is the most important country today. And in those places, Christianity is the most important religion. So it's pretty straightforward. Our calendar shows it. All right, number four. I sense that Wyatt was eager to jump in on that one. So Wyatt, go ahead.
Okay, barbarians. Who, what, whale? Barbarian sack Rome, which causes the fall of Rome. Circa 476 AD. We live in a world of separate people speaking separate languages in separate countries.
Okay, that's a good answer. I would not mark that wrong, except I would hope to maybe sharpen it a bit, Wyatt. And I would add, in the who, what, where, I would put an important word in front of barbarians. A word that tells us what kind of separate countries, what kind of peoples, what kind of world do we live in? Yes, they're separate countries. Yes, they're separate languages. But what kind are they? There's one specific kind that came after Rome. So what is it? What's the specific answer that gives us more information about the world that we live in now? I was asking Patrick about this. I said, well, if we don't live in a Roman world, which one do we live in? Let's say it out loud. Which one do we live in specifically? And he wasn't sure how to answer that. And then I asked him, well, what language are we speaking? English. And Patrick knows how to speak the language of Brazil, which is, Patrick?
Portuguese.
Portuguese. And the people in Mexico speak Mexican? No, they speak Spanish. How come we are all speaking those languages? What kinds of languages are those? What kind of people came over to America after 1492? Right? Abby?
European.
European, right? So we live in a European world, not a Roman one. We're not speaking Latin. We do have phrases like circa and anno domini and a lot of parts of our words and things like that that come from Latin, but they are inside of our new languages now. So we don't speak Latin anymore. Speak European languages. That's just an example of how we live in a European world, and there are many others. Okay, but that's one that's very accessible. All right, so that would be the thing I would add, Wyatt, to your answer would be it's the who is European barbarians, and the so what is we live in a world of European separate countries and languages and peoples. Okay? Mainly. All right, so number five, please. Somebody who hasn't gone yet. Rosetta.
Who, what, where? Christopher Columbus discovered America when 1492. So what? There would be no United States of America if America had not been discovered.
Perfect. Okay. Which is why we're going to have a long weekend coming up. So, we're going to have a long weekend coming up, by the way, for the test. So you have a lot of time to do the test preparation and all that stuff. Because Monday and Tuesday are off. And so we will reconvene on Wednesday. So we have our first nice long break. And you can take the test anytime, right? You don't have to take the test this afternoon. So relax about that and continue your preparations and try doing the test maybe on Friday or Saturday or even on Monday if you want, okay? Because we do take the Columbus Day break off because here we are and there's this amazing country. It's the most important country in the world. How's that even possible? Well, because Columbus discovered America. Had he not done that, there cannot be any Europeans coming over here and making a new country. Just not possible. Okay, very important to remember that. So, all right, let's continue on. Number six. Again, preferably somebody who hasn't been yet. Jack.
The Founding Fathers created the U.S. in Philadelphia.
Okay.
When? 1776 AD. So what? The event marked the beginning of the most powerful nation in history.
Okay, powerful is one thing, but if... And what?
And freest.
Okay, yeah. Let's not... freest doesn't belong as a footnote here, okay? There's a reason why the United States became the most powerful. In a way that's so completely different from any other country. The wealth and the influence and the power are not accidents. And they all stem from the freedom at the beginning. So we want to start with that. That was the formula that was the right formula. Human beings thrive when they are free. They create amazing things when they are free. So that freedom at the beginning is the one that we cannot forget. The Founding Fathers did not create a powerful country at first. They had to fight the Revolutionary War and they barely got out of it. They needed the help of other powerful countries in order to survive that. It was an ordeal, an unbelievable ordeal. So it wasn't powerful at first. It was free. And for that, they fought. As Patrick Henry said, give me liberty or give me death. They fought for that freedom. They achieved it. And they were independent for a long time. And that allowed the United States to grow and to thrive and to become powerful in the end. But the power is only the result way, way down the line. So we focus on the freedom. Okay. So, number 7. Let's see. Well, I don't have any new volunteers, so I will go to Abby again.
Who, what, where? Muslim terrorists destroy the World Trade Center in New York City. When? 9/11/2001. So what? We live in the chapter of history known as the War on Terror.
Okay. All right. So now we have a new part of history, sadly, because of what happened in 2001, and we are in it. So that's what the whole so what is about, right? Every time we ask the question, so what? And people ask this all the time when they are studying history. They're always saying, Mr. Powell, well, not Mr. Powell, but I've been in classes where I was a student, and the students would raise the hand and they would ask the teacher, who cares? Why do we need to know this? And the right answer is, if you're studying the right material, it is because it tells you something about the world you live in. This world we live in is America-centric. Which one of our facts tells us the most about the fact that the world is America-centric? Well, which ones tell us? Which ones show it that the world is America-centric? Jeremy, are you answering that? All right, Jeremy, you got to work on that hand-raising management, okay? Which facts tell us about the America-centric world that we live in? America is the most important country. Where does that come from? Is it from Columbus? Well, he barely found it. Was it the most important place at that point? That doesn't tell us that the world is going to be America-centric. What's going to make the world America-centric, Abby?
Founding fathers?
Yeah, right. That's what I was telling Jack, right? That when you have this freest country, then people are going to pay attention to that, and that free country is going to become great and wealthy, because when people are free, they produce values, and they make lots of wonderful stuff. They pursue their happiness, as the founding fathers said, and they make a lot of stuff. And then, well, if they so choose, they can also become powerful, which America has decided to do. All right, so this, yeah, America-centric world starts here, 1776. This is the world that we live in. Is that normal? Is that normal to have a free country be so important in the world? Tell me what's much more normal. Over 5,000 years of recorded human history. What's normal, Dana?
A king.
A king? Ever since who?
Since
men in armor? Yeah, ever since men in armor. Everywhere you look, no matter what culture, that's what you get. The same formula. Might makes right. The king beats up everybody else. Until the founding fathers said, no! The individual has rights. Wow. And they were willing to die to fight for that idea. Thank you to them. Okay, so let's go on now. This part is a little bit trickier to manage. We have the lower L and the upper L alternating with their answers. Okay, so this is lower elementary that I'm going to start with here. So, the simple answer to the question, why, number 8, lower L only, please. Why had France and England become almost permanent enemies by 1492? Who in the lower L can answer that for me? Rosetta, please.
France and England became worst enemies because of the Hundred Years' War.
Because of the Hundred Years' War. Okay, that's a good enough lower elementary answer. Okay, that's what I was looking for. All right. And so, let's continue on. Christopher, I can't imagine that you would have had time to do test preparation. So I'm going to reserve this for the students who have had this job all this time here. So, because we have a lot to get through. Okay, upper elementary. If the Roman Empire had not fallen, what language would we probably be speaking today? Give an example of an expression from Latin that is used in history. Okay, Wyatt, how about you?
We would probably all be speaking Latin. A Latin expression is AD, Anno Domini, in the year of, which means in the year of our Lord.
Yeah, I just realized that I gave it away in the question, didn't I? That's pretty funny. I'm laughing because I wrote, give an example of an expression from Latin. Why would I mean, it's kind of a giveaway. That's okay, but thank you for that. What's the other expression in Latin that we use in history? At least one other one. Yes, we use Anno Domini, but we use another one. Dana, what's another one?
Circa,
right, which means around. That's where we get the word circle. Okay, good. All right, so back to lower elementary. Number 9. Oops, what just happened? I think I just flipped to the next document. Okay, number 9. What does the word Reconquista mean? What two countries were created during the Reconquista? Lower elementary, please. Who is in lower elementary? Jeremy, aren't you in lower elementary? Oh, Jeremy's having sound issues. I don't know what's going on there. Okay. Well, Jeremy, try again. No. Patrick, did you want to try to answer that? I know you don't have a written answer, but what does Reconquista mean? No, you don't know that part. All right, so we have, let's see, we don't have anybody in the lower L who got that far? Anybody in the lower L is welcome to give me that one. Okay, Rosetta, go ahead.
Reconquista means we conquered. The two countries during the Reconquista was Spain and Portugal.
Okay, we need to be careful of grammar in our answer. You got it basically right, so I wouldn't mark it wrong or anything. But Reconquista is a noun, so we need also kind of for it to mean a noun. So in English, it means reconquest, okay, not reconquered. And also, we would have to say Spain and Portugal were created, okay? They were two countries that were created. All right, good. Spain and Portugal. All right, back to the upper L for a little bit here for a couple questions maybe. Number 9, what kind of government did the people, different people of Europe create after the fall of Rome? Since when had this been normal for people around the world? Oh, okay, we've already kind of informally discussed that quite a bit, but that's a good one. Go ahead, Sigourney.
After the fall of Rome, the people of Europe created a type of monarchy called feudalism. This has been normal for people since 3000 BC.
Good answer. Really nicely done. Okay. So as long as you put that it was monarchy, and people have been doing that since 3000 BC, that's all we needed there. Okay. Number 10. What was the Hundred Years' War? And how had it shaped the European world of 1492? Dylan, please.
A war fought between the kings of England and France. The Duke of Normandy became more powerful by conquering all of England. Since he was supposed to be France's servant, this made the King of France angry. England tried to conquer in a series of wars that lasted 16 years. France won, but they became terrible enemies because of the war.
Okay, nicely done. So, very good. All right, so how had it shaped the European world? You could say France and England were terrible enemies because of this war. All right, very good. And you described how we got there, so that was a very nice and complete answer. Does anybody want to try their answer? Because there's an opportunity here maybe to have different versions of the story. So if you have a sense that you might like to try yours out, you're welcome to do it. Sometimes in test prep, we can hear different answers. Wyatt, go ahead.
You swore it's a war fought by England and France. France and England are separate countries after this event.
Okay, I like that, except I would want one more thing. Because how had it shaped the European world? That's very geographical what you're saying, that they are separate countries. What happens when we look in the hearts of Frenchmen and Englishmen at that point, Wyatt?
It was
Danny's friend. Yeah, that's the part we needed to add to that, okay? So for an upper elementary answer, we need that they are separate for sure, but also that they were worst enemies forever. It's okay. All right. So good. We're getting close here. Two more for the upper L, and I think one more for the lower L. Let's finish up for the lower L. Let's see here. Okay. Who were the two main leaders of Christianity in the time of Columbus? Okay, the people at the center. Who were they? Oh, wait a minute. Abby, you're not supposed to answer that. It's lower L. Who were the two main leaders of Christianity in the time of Columbus? Looks like our lower L students are struggling a bit with this, which is okay. Which is okay, by the way. But Rosetta's got a little bit of experience doing this, so that's good. Rosetta, go ahead.
Two main leaders of Christianity in Columbus's time were the Holy Roman Emperors and the Pope.
Okay, the Holy Roman Emperor and the Pope. But they weren't really the center, were they? Because they were having a problem. They could never get along with each other. They could never figure out who's the real boss. Okay, so that was the end of the lower L prep. The upper L students have a couple more questions to go. So if you're in lower L, you can go ahead and go if you don't want to stick around, or you can stick around. It's up to you. Sigourney would like to answer number 11, I suspect. Who were the different rulers of Hispania from ancient times to 1492? I think we're going to get different answers on this one. So, well, Dana, you can do yours after. Sigourney, go ahead.
The different rulers of Hispania from ancient times were the Visigoths. They stayed until 711. The Muslims stayed until 1492.
Okay, now I said ancient times. So where do we even get the name Hispania? We have a slightly incomplete answer. And what about...
That was a tricky one, Mama.
It was a tricky one, wasn't it? All right, you did well. You did well, so, but we needed a more complete answer. Hispania was ruled and named by somebody, so we need them too. Abby?
By the Roman emperors.
Okay, so what's your full answer?
So the Roman emperors, then the Visigoths, then the Moors, and then Queen Isabella and King Ferdinand.
Oh my goodness, that's very specific, and that's not information that you got from your class notes. So, and it's not necessarily the best way to answer it. So what I think we need there is we need the Romans, emperors in particular. I don't know if the Roman emperors ever personally went to Spain. So yeah, technically they were at the top, but we should say the Romans. And then we should say the Visigoths. And then if you want to say the Moors, okay, there were different groups of Muslims. So Moors or / Muslims is okay. Okay, and then we're going to get to, well, okay, again, you went personal. So you said Ferdinand and Isabella, but really what we're trying to say there is Spain and Portugal. Okay, so that would be the Spanish and the Portuguese, right? By that time, those are the people involved, So that would be my favorite answer. I think to give you the marks on this one, I would need to see at least three of those. So I'd probably give you the marks, but I would want you to think about how by 1492, certainly Portugal exists, and so does Spain. So, well, Spain is right there with Ferdinand and Isabella, as you said. So, yeah, that's kind of, you know, this is the kind of question you need to start expecting as you move up. A question that has a little bit of a challenge. You can't just look it up in one of the lines of Mr. Powell's notes. You have to put some information together. Okay? And so that's what you needed to do there. So you needed at least the Romans, the Visigoths, and the Muslims. And then after that, hopefully you would say the Portuguese and the Spanish too. Okay? So, number 12. What country was at the center of Christian Europe? Who were two leaders hoping to be in charge of it? Dana, go ahead.
The Holy Roman Empire was at the center of the Christian Europe. The Pope and the German King hoped to be in charge of it.
Okay, that's pretty interesting. You said German King, and German King and Holy Roman Emperor are pretty close to the same thing. All right, so maybe you could use a slash there or something like that. But you're right, they were both pretty much in it. And all you guys who are chatting here are not doing yourself or me any good service here. I'm thinking of shutting down the chat in the elementary class for a little while. Because what I notice is, it's just like in a classroom where kids are having a discussion in the back row as the teacher is trying to teach. It's not helping. So it's a little bit of a challenge I find, especially at the upper elementary level, to chat respectfully, to pay attention to whether or not you are chatting correctly. And right now you're not. So beware of that, please, because I will occasionally simply shut it down. Christopher, you're still doing it. Watch yourself, please. Jack, go ahead.
The country at the center of Europe was the Holy Roman Empire, which both the Pope and the Habsburgs aspired to control.
Okay. The Popes and the Habsburgs, all right. Habsburgs is a family. I would still give it to you, right? Okay. The kings / Holy Roman Emperors. Wyatt, one last one.
The country that was the center of Christian Europe was the Holy Roman Empire. The two leaders were the Pope and the Emperor.
Okay, good. All right, thanks everybody. I see that you did undertook a very serious effort to answer these questions, and I like the way things are turning out here. We have a test because it encourages us to work a little bit extra hard on things that otherwise are just kind of going at a regular clip, but we're not necessarily too worried about it as we go along. A test makes us work harder temporarily, which helps us to learn a little bit better. And that's the most important thing about this exercise, is helping us to learn a little bit more. Now, most of you, I think, are getting pretty comfortable with the anchor facts. That's good, because they're going to be on every single test from now on. So it's good for you to know them, and they're going to be there to remind you along the way what is the whole story that we are studying. We don't want to get stuck in this ocean of facts. We don't want to get stuck floating around in some little part of it without knowing where we are overall. So we're always keep our knowledge anchored to these crucial mooring posts of knowledge here, these anchor facts, as I call them. All right, so that's good. You're on your way. So congratulations on your efforts. You've done well, and we're going to keep on building our tower of knowledge after our Columbus Day break. Thank you, everybody. Abby, you have one last question or comment?
I was just going to ask when the tests are due and how do we get the answers.
Okay, thank you for asking that, since it was not clear. This is the way that it's going to work. The tests will be distributed with the recordings of today's class, so they'll be posted to the class webpage along with the other resources for your parents to decide when to implement. And then after that, what you do is you hold on to them because your parents will receive a grading key on the class webpage as well. And then they will be able to use the grading key to grade your work. So your tests are not due in any sense to me. You don't send them to me. Your parents will grade them using the grading key if they so choose. Okay? Questions, follow up on that, anybody? Okay, good luck with that. Have a great long weekend, everybody. Bye for now.
Bye, Mr. Powell.
Bye.
Bye.